Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Here we go.
Jesus, don't scare me like that, Craig.
What was that?
It was being weird. Usually when I do slash join, type in the room name, blah, 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 it immediately joins. Like, this thing pops up, and the thing with Steve Bloom's voice, I assume, because it sounds like Steve Bloom to me.
Sounds a bit like Steve Bloom.
Yeah. It'll immediately pop up. It took him a couple of seconds. Like he's an old person or something. Like, bend with your knees, not with your back, Craig.
Think about it.
Get your shit together, Craig.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello and welcome to episode 108 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve Jerry, Mike Dreamy. As always, is Peacock Core Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop, especially with this episode, but it's going.
Still going.
Still
going.
For
an hour and a half, it's going.
It's going and going and going, and I would rather face every commercial that the Energizer Bunny ever aired than ever watch this again. So there you go, folks. There's a spoiler for how I feel about Cat 2. Today is the 108th day of summer. This means this is the final, sort of, until next time, whatever, day of summer here. This is the day that we find out all about the second movie, right? Yes. Second Dimension was the first movie. Yes. This is the second one. It's kind of like I was watching a clip, and by the time this airs, it'll be way past it. But unfortunately, sadly, Val Kilmer recently passed as of this recording.
Yes.
And, because usually when celebrities pass away, clips of them will just appear on, like, just, I saw an old Letterman clip of him where he was being interviewed by Dave, and Dave was like, "So you're the second Batman in the third movie, right?" And is this, I don't know if it was the way the person that made the clip or if it was the way that the clip was done, but just the way that the way the camera was done, the camera work was, you had Val looking at the camera and then he like did this like weird take with like this weird, he's like, "Yes, that's right. I was the second Batman in the third Batman movie. That is correct." Because Michael Keaton, first two, Val Kilmer, second Batman, third Batman movie kind of thing.
He was the first Batman in the second, third Batman movie.
No, that's not. Sure. He's the second Batman in the third Batman movie because Michael Keaton was the first Batman in the first two movies. Anyway, so yes, Candace Against the Universe is the second movie in the Phineas and Ferb franchise, a show, universe, something. I don't know. This movie could have been an email.
Not a bit much. It was a bit derivative and possibly could have been cut down to an hour. It tightened up a little bit. We've talked a lot about how the writers have very, you know, tight gags. You know, they play on each other and it's just one after another versus when they add some spacing in between to give a little breathing room, and it ends up being an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. So, this movie, Candace Against Phineas and Ferb, the movie, Candace Against the Universe, was released August 20 in the midst of the entire. Yeah. This movie, outside of Dan and Swampy, has 6 other writers. So, including Dan and Swampy, this movie has 8 total writers.
Wow.
I don't think this movie needed 8. And that's the other thing about
too many cooks in the kitchen.
You know? That, and okay, so you know how lately we've been, all the specials, Star Wars and Act Your Age and
yeah,
Save Summer and all the stuff we've done to end season 4. because this is not season four. This is a movie. All the stuff we've done to end season four, I had been looking at how many acts were in each episode because I'm like, why does this need five acts? Why does this need six? Holy crap. This, they don't even break this down into acts. It's just, here's the movie summary. That's it. There are no act breaks for this. There are breaks in it. Like, you see various, like, wipes and breaks. They even make a joke about a wipe. Yeah, they do. They make the joke about the wipe with the teleporter. The teleporter that, which I like the explanation of it, and I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit here, but the explanation of the teleporter, both their teleporter and Deuce teleporter, why it won't work, because there's something around the planet of Fakakta or whatever the hell the planet's name is. I don't even know.
I forget. It was...
Yeah. But there's some, like, blockage, and that's why the two teleporters, Phineas and Ferb's teleporter and Doofenshmirtz's teleporter, are connected to each other because where they were trying to go, they couldn't go because it was blocked.
They were tangled together. It was a quantum entanglement.
Yep, you're going to kill me for this, but I miss Irving. Irving would have made this better.
I was going to throw the quantum entanglement one more bone, but at the end, there's an end credit scene, and getting way ahead of ourselves, the end credit scene after the credits, see Lawrence looking in the backyard, and there's a teleporter back there, and it's still on. And he's like, huh. And he walks out, and he sticks his hand in there, and he's like, huh. And he walks in, and I'm thinking, oh, man, he's going to end up on the alien planet. But he teleports over to Tube's building, which is still on fire. And he jumps out, and his newspaper's on fire, and he's like, oh! I mean, I just thought it was funny. So you walk through a teleportal, or a portal, teleportal, and everything around you is on fire.
Honestly, outside of Vanessa, that was the best part about this whole movie was Lawrence at the end of the movie.
It was funny. And yeah, I thought it was going to be a non-speaking role, but Richard O'Brien got a line. So,
yay!
Yeah. It was a satisfying ending, at least.
Yes. Absolutely.
Out of all eight writers, not one of them could have written a song for Vanessa. Is that too much to ask?
So I understand why she's here. I understand that she's trying to motivate Candace, which I like.
Yeah.
She's trying to get Candace to get off her ass and get out of her own mindset and to really think and have some growth. I like that.
Yeah.
But then Candace just reverts back to normal Candace brain of blah, 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 bust brothers, brothers all I have, blah, 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 which is why I don't like this. Like, she doesn't, like,
there is character growth. There's something here where she, at the end, she's like, look, I understand where I went wrong, and I've been thinking about this all the wrong way, and, you know, I actually love you guys, and it's fantastic. It's a nice story here. It's a nice message. Yeah. But what I didn't like, particularly, was the fact that halfway through the movie, you know, we have Vanessa there, and halfway through the movie, they ditch her.
Yep.
And you don't see her again. Until like the fourth act, if there was an act before, but there's not. But I mean, it takes a while to get back to her.
Yeah, it takes
And it's like they could have used Stacy here interchangeably, but at the same time, you have Doof involved, who is there specifically to look for Vanessa.
Yeah.
So I get it. I mean, I like it. But I feel like they wasted her.
Yeah.
There was a nice scene where she flies in on a pterodactyl. And rescues Doof and Perry, but not. It's like, all right.
Was cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think the funniest part was the fourth wall break. Basically the Ferris Bueller breaking fourth wall that they did at the beginning. Before she tries to get Candace to actually think and realize that she's more than just busting her brother. When Candace breaks into her song, all of a sudden Vanessa has a guitar and they're doing the duet. Vanessa's not singing. Yeah. And then at the end of it, Vanessa's like, wait, why do I have this guitar? Yoink. Like, throws the guitar away.
Tosses it on
Vanessa.
I'd be like, this is mine now.
Yeah, exactly.
Strap it on my back. Be like, yeah, this is my new thing.
Exactly.
Who are you again? I'm the one with the guitar. Like, oh, yeah, you are.
Yeah, it's like, I'm in the band, damn it.
I'm in the band.
Oh, and man.
And oddly, I can play it. And, yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, I did not like that they didn't have Vanessa sing. Because it's like, she's here. She's but completely exactly. Wasted.
Yeah, completely wasted.
As a character. It's like, why is she... It's like you had 8 people writing this thing. Not one of them could have wrote her a song.
Yeah.
Not one of them could have, you know, had a scene where she, you know, single-handedly tames a whatever that dragon thing was.
Yeah, exactly.
You created a whole dragon theme park and all you have to show for it is a chicken.
Hey, okay, that's the other thing that I liked about this. We haven't seen them in forever. None of the specials, because folks, by the time you're going to hear this, I'm in the middle of editing all of the episodes that we just recorded, 103 to 107, because I did edit 101's online currently, and I think 102 is scheduled to be online.
You got some editing to do.
Yeah. Fine, whatever. It's not like people are gagging over whether I'm getting these episodes out.
I don't know, man. Star Wars episode was awesome, and I think people really need to hear it.
Yeah, well, they will in time. In a galaxy.
A long time ago in a galaxy far away.
Far away. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. But no, I was like. When Doof brings the nearest chickeninator or chicken awayinator or whatever swapperoo chickenerator or whatever it is, thank God they didn't try to call it a chicken ionizer or whatever. Replacinator. Yeah, that's what it is.
Replace the nearest chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Switch it from the nearest chicken to the farthest chicken.
Yeah. Colonel Sanders, man, damn. Lemon herbs and spices. Anyway,
what happens if you mix chicken with hot lava?
What happens when you mix chicken with Mike's hot honey sauce? I don't know, but
it's delicious. I'll tell you that.
So I was not expecting to see them, and I was like, hey, yay. So that's a plus for this. Everything about this movie for me that's pluses has nothing to do with Candace. It's everything else in the universe that has to do with this movie for me.
There were plenty of voice cameos.
Yep.
I should say. Yeah. And I noticed a couple of them and I was like, oh, hey, I recognize that voice.
Yep.
A couple of them that I thought I recognized. I was pretty sure that I heard Kevin Michael Richardson in there, but maybe it wasn't. I thought he was one of the guards, the big guard that blew up. Thought that was him.
I don't
see him in the list.
I don't see him in the list either.
I saw a bunch of. I heard what I thought. Right, what I thought was
Rob Paulson. Yeah,
I thought I heard Rob Paulson. I thought, you know, it sounded like he was doing the sad voice like this. You know, where he's doing one of these, and and I was like, oh, that's Rob Paulson. But I don't see Rob Paulson on the list. I see Bill Farmer on the list, and he could. He's capable of doing that too, but yeah, I'm just like, there was a lot of voices there that I thought I caught. I did not catch Ali Wong as Super Super Big Doctor. I would not have guessed Ali Wong.
Yeah.
Worst name ever, by the way, for a space alien. I mean,
yeah,
I like Ali Wong. I think she's hilarious. I did not recognize the voice though. And who else? I know Corey Burton was in there as the farmer. You mentioned the farmer.
Yep.
Man. Yeah, so I'm just seeing like other voices. A lot of names. Weird Al was in this one.
What? Yeah.
Apparently there was a lot of he was the shirt cannon guy. Oh, he was
the shirt cannon guy.
He I was going to say there was a lot of overlap between this and Murphy's Law.
Yeah. Or yeah, Milo absolutely. Murphy's Law. Yeah, Milo's, yeah.
Murphy's Law. So the that one with the lawyers? No. That was Milo Murphy.
Yeah.
But he apparently the guy who did the voice for Ferb in the Phineas and Ferb episode of Murphy's Law, Milo Murphy, he came back and reprised the voice of Ferb.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah, and Ferb actually got more lines in this than any other special so far.
It's well,
like
I mean,
10 years pass and they suddenly forget. Like, how many lines does Ferb get? I don't know. Give him all the lines. Let him talk as much as he wants. He's very talkative now.
Yeah, it was actually interesting.
I want to say it's only 5 years. So 10 years now, but at the time when this came out, they were gone for 5 years.
Yeah, so I looked at that. So Last Day of Summer aired on Disney Channel June 12th of 2015. The theatrical date premiere for this was August 28th, 2020. So they were only gone 5 years.
Yeah, but that's a long time in TV time, though.
Very true.
Eternity.
Yep.
But, you know, here we go 5 years later, and we got a new series. So.
Yep, new season anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't count for Phineas and Ferb. They don't play by everyone else's rules.
Oh, no. Well, Disney needs money right now, probably. Because Disney.
They need
I don't money know back what for the... I don't know what I mean, I'm just glad we're getting Phineas and Ferb Season 5. I don't look at the logistics or the reasons why or whatever. I just see Dan posting on Instagram of hey, Phineas and Ferb Season 5, or hey, I did this, or hey, I did that, or whatever kind of thing. But I see other news things around where it's like, Disney, what are you doing with this? Disney, what are you doing with that? Oh my God, it's the worst ever. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, sure.
It's easy to forget sometimes that Disney is Marvel, that Disney is Star Wars, that Disney is.
I don't forget that. Like, it's very.
Princess movies, you know? these are not mutually exclusive items. They're all the same company. So it's like, yeah, maybe. Is Disney having trouble? I don't know. They just put out a dozen movies this year. Yeah, maybe they are. I don't know.
I mean, you know,
and theme parks and toys and TV shows and music and whatever else.
Yeah, I don't know.
They got a lot going on. That being said, I did sell all my Disney stock. So
yeah. Hopefully you got a good price for it.
No, I didn't. I took a huge loss.
Well, then.
I bought it for like $180 a share before Disney Plus launched. Yep. And Disney Plus was supposed to be such a huge thing, and it was going to shoot the stock even higher. It was supposed to go to $250, and it didn't. It went in the opposite direction. And then the people started seeing, Wall Street in particular, started seeing Disney as a streaming company instead of a movie / music / ESPN / you know, whatever else they do, you know, whatever else they own, theme parks, you know, they didn't see it as that. They just saw it as a streaming company, and they were comparing it to like Netflix. And in comparison to Netflix, it went down to like $80. So I lost a lot of money on Disney, but I held on to it for like a year and then just sold it as a capital loss because I don't think it's. It might be at $100 now, maybe less. It's never going back to $180. I mean, I just don't believe it.
Yeah, no.
But hey, tax write off.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Wayne Brady as Stapler Fist, and we got.
I hate the alien names.
Diedrich Bader as Borthos.
See, the funny thing is now I see these names and I'm like, I know these guys. I love Diedrich Bader. He plays an amazing Batman.
Yep.
I mean, he's no Kevin Conroy, but he's an amazing Batman, right? Yeah. And yeah. I love Diedrich Bader. I love his voice. I hear him and stuff and I go, hey, that's Diedrich Bader. That being said, I didn't recognize him in this. And I honestly couldn't tell you who the characters are. I mean, for all I know, Borthos was the name of the of the elephant thing that got shot up into orbit. I don't know who Borthos was.
Well, that's why they
all the other aliens. Oh wait, all the other aliens had like weird names, like Taserface, you know.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, there's a couple on here like Garnaz and Borthos, and I'm like, who were they? Was that the dragon? Did he play the dragon?
I don't know.
Rawr, rawr, rawr. I mean, is that his job?
Well, Stapler Fist was voiced by Wayne Brady, as I said. Toughest of all of the guards. He also gives an excellent foot massage, according to Super, Super Big Doctor. Which, I know these people are comedians, or they're good comedy writers. They can write good jokes.
Yeah.
Super, Super Big Doctor. What's the... like Stapler Fist, I get it. It's kind of like you said, Taser Face. I kind of get it. Like, that's kind of funny. But like Super, Super Big Doctor, what in the hell kind of funny crap name is that?
I like Toilet Flower.
Yes.
She says, hey, Toilet Shower. And he goes, my name's Toilet Flower. Like, oh, that's not much better. That's not a good name. That's a terrible name.
Borthos is the, he's one of the...
Borthos is the guy that I thought was voiced by Rob Paulsen.
Oh, okay. That's Cedric Bader.
Ah. Yeah. So that was the thing. That's probably why I didn't recognize Cedric Bader, because he was doing...
Yeah.
Voice. It clearly wasn't his voice, but...
Right.
You know, that Borthos voice was definitely in Rob Paulsen's wheelhouse.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I look at that name now and I'm like, oh, Borthos? I thought they were saying Porthos. I'm like, where's Aramis? Where's Athos? Like, where are the other Musketeers?
Yeah. I didn't so much get that, but I was like, yeah, maybe. You know, all for one and one for all.
That's right.
I'm trying to see who Garnaz was. Who's Garnaz? Oh, another one of those guys that had talked.
Yeah.
He's like really down here somewhere, you know. He's like, I'm so scared and I don't want to leave my
Thomas cave. Middleditch. What an unfortunate name that must be. Thomas Middleditch. Interesting.
Tiffany Haddish. She was the voice that said Candace.
Yeah.
When things exploded and when the aliens explode. And it's funny because I just got done watching the first season of After Party, which is a murder mystery. And you spend 8 episodes or so trying to figure out who done it at a murder at an after party. And she plays the detective who has to, you know, piece the clues together.
Detective Danner, yep.
Yeah, oh, you saw it.
No, I'm looking at her thing on Wikipedia.
she's so good. She's so good in this. And especially toward the end, when she's like, you know, piecing it all together. And yeah, she's amazing. There's a whole episode just for her, and it tells her backstory. But I saw that she had she was cast in this, and I'm like, well, I'm listening, trying to figure out which one was her. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, she's not the alien queen. You know, that's not her. That was Ali Wong.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, who was she? And it turns out she was the Candace, you know, when things
explode. Yeah.
And you get a lot of it in the end when she's just hitting people with free t-shirts, you know, Candace.
Yeah.
It's like they're cheering for her as she takes out the alien. Takes out the upper half of the alien invaders.
Yeah,
I was like, I didn't recognize her either. It's like, man, the whole voice cast is just wasted. Sometimes you see like there's cameo voices, and you're excited. It's like, wow, I totally. totally recognize that voice. That was awesome.
Well, and yeah, it's like, you know, your Bill Farmers, your Wayne. Granted, Wayne Brady has been on the show before multiple times, and Bill hasn't. But like, those are names that we recognize, even when like somebody like Tom Bergeron comes on to do game show stuff. Like, we recognize I don't think this ever happened, but let's just say somebody like Michael Bell or Peter Cullen or.
Yeah,
even Jim Cummings. If can you imagine a Phineas and Ferb meets Darkwing Duck? That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Or Phineas and Ferb meets PJ's dad. It's Jim Cummings. I know who does Pete. I was trying to think of Pete's last name.
I thought Bill Farmer was Goofy.
He is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're saying.
So
Winnie the Pooh is Pete.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. Yes. Putting it all together.
Yes. Winnie the Pooh is also, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he is also Don Carnage from Tailspin. Anyway. But the point is normally we recognize when they bring in the guest voices, but in this case,
bring in Peter Cullen and have him sound like this, you know, he's that little tiny voice guy in the background. It's like, all right, you know, we want Peter Cullen to sound like Peter Cullen.
Yeah. It's kind of like Frank was, I was Mighty Man and Frank was Yuck. Like, you know, oh God, again, sorry, folks, we're off topic because, whatever.
Again? I just, oh my gosh, yeah, no way.
Well, you know, I just not watched, right. You it's on par for the course. That's right. Have you heard us in the last 17 years? Come on, folks. You know better than that. But can't it's all Disney. Yeah, it's all related to Disney, though. I just watched, as of this recording, Not Another Goof, the documentary about a Goofy movie.
Yeah.
And because this is going to tie into what we're talking about.
You're promoting that, yeah.
Right. And this is going to tie into the voice actors, because in that, Frank Welker was Bigfoot in that, making all the Bigfoot noises and the things and the whatever. When Bigfoot ends up sleeping on the car, and Max and Goofy are trapped in the car overnight because Bigfoot is sleeping on top of their car during the car drive. So watching this special, this behind-the-scenes special of 30 years ago of how they got this movie made for a Goofy movie and all of that, I was like, hey, that's a young 1990s Frank Welker in the booth? Huh. Cool. Because, I mean, you know, normally we see Frank and he's Frank. We know Frank. We know Frank from, you've met him several times at several BotCons and other conventions.
His voice naturally sounds like Fred Rogers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so it's always like that. Yeah, it's always nice to hear crickets coming out of the soundboard and realizing, Frank.
This guy's a national treasure. He's a master of animal noises.
That's right. Absolutely.
He was background animals for Lion King, a movie in the 90s. All the background animals. He was just making all the noises. He's just amazing.
Yeah. But if you haven't watched that documentary, folks, go watch it. 30th anniversary of a Goofy movie this year. Not Another Goof is what it's called. It's on Disney Plus right now. It's 1 hour and 17 minutes long. It's worth that hour. And it's worth any other film you could watch on Disney Plus.
What channel? It's on Disney Plus. Oh,
yeah. It's called Not Another Goof. Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet. I saw it was on.
It's so good. Yeah, you got to watch it.
All right. Then.
So good. What is so cool, and I'm not trying to spoil it so you don't watch it, but what's so cool is the behind the scenes of how, this is why I love documentaries like this, is how it's not just, like nowadays everything would be CGI. We always say that.
Back then, computer.
Yeah, back then it was all hand-drawn, it was all this, it was all that. How they were able to get that Powerline concert at the end of the movie. Oh, man. I was so impressed. Excuse me. Sorry.
They made
edit
it work.
Point. Yeah. I was so impressed with the I'd never seen. They basically choreographed real people and then drew to that, essentially. But I didn't really spoil it. You'll see. It's very special. Anyway. Yeah. But voices, we got. I didn't even really remember. Did Al even have a line as the shirt cannon guy? Did he say anything?
I want to say he said something like, "Who wants a free t-shirt?" But okay. I didn't recognize the voice.
Yeah. And you think you would because it's Weird Al. And
it's Weird Al.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, they have all these voices and they're not in their actual voice. It's like, you know, I've got Peter Cullen in my show and he goes, "Paging Dr. Herman. Dr. Herman, you're wanted at the front desk." It's like, well, why does he sound like that? Who? What's the voice director doing? It's like, you know who's in your booth, right? He wanted to be like, "Paging Dr. Herman." You know, it's like, oh my God, Optimus Prime is paging me. I'm going to answer right away. You know, "Herman is wanted at the front desk." Little Transformers fanboy screechy noises. He was like, screechy sounds. Yeah, that would be exactly. Wasted cast here. Ali Wong was great. Maybe if I hadn't thought it was actually Tiffany Haddish doing the voice, I would have been like, "Oh yeah, Ali Wong. Yay. I recognize her."
I looked at her filmography on here and I was like, "Oh, she was in Birds of Prey?" Oh, that Birds of Prey, not the 2003 television series.
You have to clarify. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, the movie, not the TV series. Gotcha.
Yeah, in the movie. She's good in that. Yeah. No, I want to say, I haven't memorized Ali Wong's filmography, but yeah, I mean, generally, I like the stuff she's in.
Well, I mean, all I did was click on her name on the Phineas and Ferb Wikipedia, and it just told me that it was the movie. It wasn't.
You're going to make me sit down in front of the computer, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my God.
Well, why aren't you in front of the computer already anyway?
But that's what the wireless headset's for.
Yeah. Wireless headset. I'll give you wireless headset.
Make me, like, sit down.
Sit down.
Oh, slate over here, man. Wow, honestly, the songs?
Yeah.
Anything about the songs? Is there something here that you...
Not really. I don't think so. I think I'm more impressed with the rarely used or one-off characters that are also seen in the Danville Stadium scene, because we got two guys in the park,
everybody.
Albert, Becky, Buck Buckerson, the building engineer, who's that? Clive Addison, Coltrane, Dave and Rick. You got basically everybody. Ward.
They just threw every character model that they had and said, "We need a character. We need a crowd shot. Just what do we have for crowd? Just throw everything in it."
Yeah.
Gary Oldman. Everyone.
Yeah, exactly. The songs, though. I do like Candace's "Such a Beautiful Day." I think that's a good song. That's a nice starting song for Candace. She starts out
I like
really
about
good.
That?
She's what?
It's great. Yeah, no, I think you're about to mention it. Is that it starts out very da 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 da. It's like Sesame Street, and then she goes, and then
yep.
It's like we're crossing slightly into death metal now.
Yes.
And then she's like, "But I'm not going to worry about that right now. I'm going to da 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 da."
Yep.
But then I want to say it devolves a little bit into just like a reminder of where we've been.
Yep.
In the sense that it's like almost like a montage of here's all of the previous, not all of, but, you know, like a clip show of, oh, well, here's the roller coasters and the giant robots and the, you know, I forget exactly what all the things that she mentioned, but there was a lot. And it got to be the point where, yes, we're aware. We've seen this show before. I know what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah, but yeah. And the thing of it is it's, I don't know, like between that first song and the adulting song that Doof sings, I think those are the only two that I absolutely need out of this entire, like Space Adventure. We don't need, we've had Space Adventure before.
What do we need?
Yeah.
I thought it was weird that they were making a Star Trek reference, a painfully obvious Star Trek reference in a Disney show, right?
Yeah.
And wait a minute, they can't make Star Trek references in a Disney show.
but they already did though. That's my point. That's why is it here? Because Space Adventure is the jingle for the movie Space Adventure. It's sung four times in the episode, Not Phineas and Ferb, which was from season two. Like, they did that back in 2010. They did that like 15 years ago, 16 years ago. Yeah. So, okay, fine, great. Why is it here in Candace Against the Universe? That's what I want to know.
Can't tell you. I don't know.
I can't tell you. I don't know either.
At least the bugs didn't show up. I mean, it could have been worse.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, this is our battle song? You know, that's not so much a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just... I don't know.
I...
I really, there's not, none of these are showing up in my list of top 10 songs for the season. This isn't in the fourth season. This is 4.5.
Yeah, no. So this is, yeah. No.
Four and three quarters.
Like, well, so when we do our top 10s next time, it's top 10 episodes and then top 10 songs from the series, or we could choose songs from the movies. We're probably not going to choose songs from this movie, but it's one of those things where, yeah, but like if we were doing top 10 worst songs, I would probably put almost any of the songs in this one on here because like the Meet Our Leader song. Someone out there is
going to really enjoy the song, the songs in this one. They're going to, you know,
they're going to ream us. Yeah. Well, maybe that'll get us comments on the website because nobody ever comments on geekcastradio.com anymore. So visit geekcastradio.com if you disagree with us on our hatred for Candace Against the Universe.
Tell Blanchard he's full of crap. That song was awesome. Right.
Yeah. Feedback at geekcastradio.com. Oh boy. I don't know.
I feel like maybe, and I hate to say this because I know that Dan and Swampy were involved, heavily involved. They've mm-hmm. part of the writing crew. you know, 1/4 of the writing crew. But I feel like maybe they lost a little of what in the intervening 5 years, right? Lost a little of what Phineas and Ferb was about.
Yeah.
And again, a goodly chunk of that is the tight storytelling. They tried to, I think they kind of paid a little lip service to some of the tropes.
Yeah.
They did a, I know what we're going to do today. They did a, oh, there you are, Perry.
You're listing some of these, I'm actually something clicking.
About a watermelon.
Yeah, something about a watermelon. I'm actually clicking on every single writer's name to see how many episodes they wrote on on the show.
They got experienced people or people that just said, oh,
yeah,
you look like you could hold a pencil. You know what a typewriter looks like, right? Here.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
You put 10,000 monkeys in a room and they're going to write up a new Phineas and Ferb.
So the first two guys, John Colton Barry and Jim Bernstein, wrote a lot of episodes from the series. The third guy, Joshua Pruitt, only wrote two episodes. Kate Condelli? Condell? Condell. She didn't write anything on this series. She wrote Legally Blonde 2. She wrote First Daughter.
Did they bring her in for Punch Up or something? Or?
I don't know. It doesn't tell there.
Here, make this and funny.
Then, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the other... So, like I said, John Colton Barry, like, I mean, we know and love half the stuff that he's done. Yeah. Got Game, The Monster of Phineas and Ferb and Stein, Interview with the Platypus, stuff we've already talked about. Like,
yeah.
The dude is the show, is a part of the show.
Trust the writing in here, but the question becomes, how was the script passed around?
And, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, what exactly happened? Did he write half of it and then, like, hand it on spec over to, you know, Dan and Swampy, and then they look at it, and then they hand it over to the producers, and the producer says, well, you know, this is a movie now. It's an hour and a half. We should pass it by a person who's written movies, you know. I mean, we don't know what the history is.
Yeah, we don't know what the history is. And see, this is why when I do comic book reviews and things like that, where is it this one here? I'm trying to find an example here. Okay. So, that's not exactly a good example. Damn it. Come on. Where's my example? Here it is. Okay, so for IDW Publishing's Teenage Ninja Turtles of the Reborn Volume 8, Damage Done. So this has multiple comic books collected into it, okay?
Sure.
This has six parts. The story is broken up into the six parts, but only part one was written by Michael Walsh. Parts two through six were written by Sophie Campbell. I wish this movie listed next to their names which section or which act, which is why this movie should have been broken up into acts, as to which one of these people worked on which part. Because that way you'd be able to tell, and we could analyze it a little bit more. That's the only thing that I would wish a little bit more on, the clarification of whose work this actually is. Because, like you just said, there are too, and like we've already said throughout this entire podcast, there are too many cooks in the kitchen. We don't know which cook is doing what. Not that we're trying to blame anybody, but we're trying to figure out, hey, who do we praise or who do we blame with what we do and what we don't like? Like, I'm trying to remember, have Joe and I covered Volume 8 yet in the pullback? I don't think we have because of something else. Anyway, when we eventually get to reviewing Volume 8 of the TMNT series over on the comic book podcast, it's like, oh, part one was done by Michael Walsh. I like this part of his writing. I don't like that part of his writing. Part two through six was done by Sophie Campbell, who has been writing on the series since issue 29, which was way back in 2010, 2011, years and years ago. I like this about Sophie's writing. I like what she did here. I like this. Like, you can pick out specific things that you do and don't like about a certain thing. And I know animation is different than comic books. I get that. But there are plenty of times in animation when it is said that the story was done by this person and the script was written by this person.
Yeah.
Like, Dan and Swampy came up with the story idea, but they had John Colton Barry or Jim Bernstein, they had them write it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see why we couldn't figure that out, or maybe it's in the credits. I don't know. It's just not listed here in the wiki.
Whew. Maybe. There's too much talking.
Look, that's right.
That sentence had too many syllables. Apologize.
Yeah, it's too much oxygen used. I need some carbon dioxide.
That's a good thing we have 7 billion people on the planet just breathing it out.
That's right.
Good thing there's no giant mind-controlling carnivorous plants. Oh, you know what's funny? there's a giant mind-controlling carnivorous plant involved. And the Phineas and Ferb wiki didn't say anything about Little Shop of Horrors.
Where's that illusion?
Exactly. I mean, is that not the most obvious play?
why? So, yeah, when I was watching this and I saw the plant, and I'm like, Audrey 2? No, her name is Mama. And I'm like, Mama?
Mama 2.
Oh.
But it's like the planet is named Feeble Oot. And they make it, the wiki makes it a point of mentioning that backwards that spells to all beef. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. This is not a McDonald's reference. You are just pulling shit out of your rear. I mean, this is this is not a reference to all beef. It's a Feeble Oot. I don't know what Feeble Oot was supposed to be, but it's not. To all beef doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I will agree that they're really pulling the illusions out of there.
Yeah, somewhere south of the border. Yeah.
Feeble Oot. Okay.
Feeble Oot.
No, to all beef.
Which writer is responsible for that? I don't, you know. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they had an interview with one of the writers and he's like, oh yeah, I totally named this after a backwards McDonald's jingle.
See.
Oh, okay. And one other thing that I liked, at one point in the end battle, they threw in Wilhelm Scream.
Yeah.
Which always makes me giggle every time I hear it. It's like, all right, Wilhelm made it to the party. Here we are. Now we know we're dealing with high art because we've got the Wilhelm Scream.
Yeah, good old Wilhelm.
Wilhelm. There's a couple Wilhelm Screams, but you know the one I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I can't do it. It's like, ah! No. It's always funny when you hear the Wilhelm.
And the only reason why they had her throw the guitar was to get the El Kabong noise from Quick Draw McGraw.
And it was lost on me. I didn't get it. I didn't
even hear it.
Yeah.
I was like, what the? I'm like, crap, I gotta go back.
I do like the She Who Will Not Be Named reference, though.
Kathleen Kennedy? Yeah.
And I say she who will not be named specifically because if I say her name, she will be like, what? What do you want? I'll be like, I'm talking to you. I just happened to say that word. That's a word. I'm allowed to say it. But yeah, it's like, I don't know that song. You know, I can't play that song. It's like, oh man, she doesn't understand a word I'm saying. I don't get it. I mean, when you're artificial intelligence isn't that intelligent, then you know you got a problem.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right. Anything else about Candace against the Univice?
No. I mean, like I said, it was really long. And the sad thing is I didn't start watching it until probably later than I should have. And so I know I wrapped it up like 10 minutes before we started here. So really fresh in my mind, and yet it's like, oh man, I'm really having trouble, you know, remembering certain references that I enjoyed.
That's the sad thing is, I don't, other than the few things that I mentioned, I didn't enjoy a lot about this because I think this takes away from where we left Candace as a character in The Last Day of Summer.
Okay. Yeah.
This reverts her character to, oh my God, I'm nothing without busting my brothers, or I need to find more purpose, or I need to find more of this or more of that, or ooh, this or ooh, that. Like, it's the, like I said, it's the same damn story as Unfair Science Fair Redux. Like and like we already said, they even reference that.
She says, "You don't need me for as a human sacrifice, do you?"
They're like, yeah,
no, not really.
If this didn't have several things that I liked, it would probably get a zero.
Oh, don't be like that. I watched it. I didn't hate it. I laughed a couple of times. Did I feel like it needed to be an hour and a half? No, but no. I don't feel like I will never get that hour and a half back.
Oh, I feel like I, and you say hour and a half. I'm like, hour and a half? What you talking about, Willis? Hour and a half.
I had a hard time kind of reconciling how old Candace is, because you start off with her riding a bike.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, Jeremy's her boyfriend and he can drive. He's in charge of a taco truck. So, you know, and then you've got Vanessa, who you know is old enough to drive.
Yep.
But she's on a scooter.
Yep.
With the little Evil Incorporated logo on the side. So it's like, how old is she again? What is she, 12? Nice. Yeah. And if she is, then why is Vanessa hanging out with her? Because Vanessa's clearly like 18.
Yeah.
She has already mentioned that she wants to go away and do an internship. So is Candace 15? Is she 16? Is she 17? Why isn't she riding a scooter or a car? Or I'm not. Yeah. I was just having a little issue when it first came on. And again, for people who hadn't seen Phineas and Ferb for 5 years, and suddenly this movie comes back, you're going to have these questions. Like, wait a minute, I thought this character was older.
Yeah. You're not wrong. It is an hour and a half. It's an hour and 31
minutes. Told you.
I thought it was, it felt longer. I've seen this movie exactly 2 times. I saw it when it originally hit Disney Plus way back when, X number of years ago. And I saw it today to watch it for this podcast. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I
knew it was an hour and a half because I paused it after half an hour and went, oh my God, there's another hour left.
Okay, so according to the according to the Phineas and Ferb Wikipedia, in Act Your Age, she's 25. As of season 5 coming up, she will be 16. So after 15. Candace, yeah,
she can't drive yet.
No, so after Candace loses her head, when was that's season 1? So yeah, between season 1 and now, she's 15 the whole time.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
A little weird. Well, it's weird in the sense that, you know, Vanessa, who's an adult, hanging out with this 15-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, oh, hey, I don't have enough goth friends in college, so you know, I guess I'll hang out with you. You just happen to be somebody I know on the side of the street crying for whatever reason. It's like, I'm not getting involved with that little girl's drama. I'm gonna scoot on down the street and hopefully not get abducted by aliens today.
So
there's that.
So interesting. At your age, Vanessa is 26, and before Dude, We're Getting the Band Back Together, she's 15. From Dude, We're Getting the Band Back Together, she's 16. As of season 5, she's 17. So she's only 2 years or a year older than Candace.
That would make her a year older than Candace.
So she's not that far off.
Okay.
She's just more adult. She's just more grown up. More
mature.
Yeah, more mature. She's more.
Here's something. I want you to take this the wrong way, but her character model is purposefully curvy.
Yeah.
That makes her look more adult.
Okay.
It's
you're not wrong.
Yeah, no, and I'm that's why I'm thinking, no, that girl's going off to college. You know, she's
that's right. Yeah.
She's got an internship lined up. She's clearly 18.
Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, maybe she's 16 here, and she's going to be 17 in season 5.
Yeah,
I'm just surprised that they're having age progression at all. It's like, you know, Maggie Simpson's been 8 for the last 30, 40 years. They don't necessarily need to make them grow up. They could, you know, yeah. Would I have been upset if they had, you know, not gone full act your age, but maybe somewhere in between? Maybe. Sure, that would have been cool to see. But, you know, maybe Candace would have been off of college by then.
Let's hope.
Well, I mean, you know, she's going to be a lawyer. Something like that. But yeah, I'm surprised that they're even pushing in an extra year.
Yeah, and so far it's just the girls that are, because all the kids are going to stay the same ages roughly.
Well, yeah, they're not going to change. Well, you know, it's funny though, is kids that age do, they change a lot.
Well, they change a lot, but they're not.
Between age 8 and age 10, it's night and day.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a parent of children who have been that age, I can tell you. It changes a lot.
Yeah, between Phineas and Ferb, they're both less than 15 officially, but they're somewhere between 7 and 12. I would
somewhere say and again, that's a huge gap.
I know that's a huge gap. I would say Phineas and Ferb are both somewhere between 10 and 12.
I would guess 10 or 12. Yeah.
Normally.
Sure.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Because by the time Act Your Age comes around, they're both 18.
Which would have been 10 years later.
Yeah.
So that makes them 8.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Wow. They're very, mature for 8.
Hey, you can have a mature 8-year old.
That's their third graders at that point. I mean, kids barely have personalities, but third grade, let alone build roller coasters. But yeah, I get it. It's like, aren't you kids a little young to be building a skyscraper? Like, yes, we are.
No, they're
We're 8 years old. We're a little young for pretty much anything except for playing with Transformers. And even then, because they make them too damn hard to transform with our little tiny fingers and our bad motor skills and, you know, and tiny undeveloped brains.
Have you probably haven't gotten into these yet, because I think you're getting out of the stuff, but.
What are we talking about?
Have you seen Transformers Blockies yet?
They are adorable, yes. Okay. I like them. I'm not going to buy any, but I'm not sure. Do they transform? Because I've seen
Blockies. Okay, I've seen them
in robot mode and vehicle mode, but yeah. I don't see how they get from one to the other.
You build and unbuild. It's a Lego build. Yeah. So
they don't look like Lego-y at all. They look like little action figures.
That's what they look like. They come in parts.
Wow. All right.
So.
I've never seen one in real life. I've just seen pictures, and they look cool. I'm like, well, these are neat. And
they look cool once they're built.
Yeah.
Once they're built, they look cool. They come in a box, and inside the box is two bags.
Partsformers.
In those bags are parts that you build.
I might have to pick one up just to see one.
Yeah, exactly.
They look cool though. I like them.
Yeah. 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 No, it's Patreon that I
on my desk.
Yeah, it would. I used to subscribe to one of the YouTube people that I follow. I used to subscribe to their Patreon. I'll resubscribe at some point here soon, but if you subscribe to their Patreon for so many months at a certain level, they will send you stickers and other things in the mail. And sometimes if at a certain level, at a certain price, they will send you a physical item, whether it be a Funko Pop or whatever. And I wasn't even really expecting anything this time around, because I had already unsubscribed for a couple of months. Cause I just couldn't afford the thing at the time. And yeah. I got a package from them, and I still need to thank them, which I will. But
yeah. Publicly, right they, now. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Poppin' Duo. Go over to youtube.com/thepoppinduo, I think is what it is. I could be wrong. I'll put a link in the show notes. Anyway, Vince and Brie, they do Funko Pop content and other stuff as well. But anyway, so I was a member of their Patreon, and they sent me, they threw in a Blockies, and I was like, oh, cool. I get to actually see this firsthand. And it was one of the Galaxy, whatever it is. And I'm like, oh, cool. I open it up and I'm like, you mean it's not a figure that's already built? You mean I have to actually build this myself? And you know how I, Michael, know how I like with the cerebral palsy, yeah. I've got fat fingers on my left hand. Yeah. I can't build this stuff. And I don't want to be like, I'm actually going to, in the process of writing them a whole email to thank them and whatever, and just say, hey, I couldn't do this. So I gave it to a neighbor of mine who has a grandson who hopefully it won't be lost on him. Because I opened the thing and I opened the bags and I'm like, that's a lot of parts. Yeah. That's a lot of parts that my fat fingers are not going to be able to put together. They look very simple, and the instructions say it doesn't matter which instructions you have. All the parts are all the same. They all
are they separated, or are they like on a sprue? Gundam?
So they come in two bags. Yeah. All the hands and all the other things are on the old weapon rack type things that we used to get with action figure type. I don't know what you call them.
Yes, it's a sprue. It's like square where they're
attached.
You can see
actual pieces, the actual blocks to build up to make the actual figure, they're all in a bag by themselves.
Oh, like Legos.
Yeah. It's very cool. That
sounds awesome.
I just want to buy them where they're already built. That's all.
Get them on eBay. Someone's already built my Blockies.
That's right. And really, there's only one that I absolutely really want, and that's Autobot Megatron from IDW.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Phineas and Ferb.
Repaints, right? Yay.
Yeah.
Unless repaints. Possibilities.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right, folks. Candace Against the Universe is in the bag. That's going to do it for us. What are you going to rate this? Because I already gave it a 1.5.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Why?
Yeah, takes away 5 years later. They had to come back and write this. They could have come up with any other story for Candace besides having to go through the exact same growth that she already went through at the end of the series.
All right, I'll buy that. I feel like at the very least they should have expanded upon what had already happened, because now it's like, wait a minute, Luke's evil again? What? I'm confused. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, it was...
Well, no, he wasn't evil. I mean, he was... Well...
They sent him there to thwart his evil plans, and he was fighting with a platypus robot, which I thought was awesome, because I love giant robots of all types, and giant platypus robot notwithstanding.
Yes.
This is neat, but he's evil and they're fighting. I'm confused. There's no bowling night anymore. Did I miss something? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I feel like a 3 is warranted. I feel like a 3 is warranted. I laughed. I choked up a little bit. The whole World's Best Sister mug with the 3D clip show around her. Mm-hmm. I saw that and I was like, if I weren't such a manly man, I would have teared up a little bit. But yeah, no, I'm sticking with a 3. I didn't hate it. I didn't feel like I'll never get that part of my life back. I got to sit and watch it surrounded by family. And,
there you go.
You know, I think that's as it should be. You know, I'm going to go with 3.
Yeah. Like I said, it had a few good moments with Vanessa and a couple other things, and the adulting song from Doof was great. But the only thing that really saves it is the old farmer and his wife. That's really the only thing that saves it.
Corey Baker is droopy. Corey Burton is droopy.
Burton is droopy. Yeah, Burton. Yep. Absolutely.
I was going to say the big missed opportunity was when they slapped Vanessa into the escape pod and they launch. And you didn't hear the Spaceballs theme song. Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Jettisons.
Yeah.
Because Spaceballs.
Well, and they didn't. And that was the funny thing. They had the escape pods.
Yeah.
Go to the planet that they were already going to be landing on. That's not the point of an escape pod. An escape pod is supposed to go to some other place, not the place you're supposed to be landing on.
The idea of an escape pod is if the ship is in distress and it's going to explode in space, it's better off that you get to your destination, or at least the nearest planet, in one piece, and you don't have to float there.
Yeah, true.
Because floating in space is usually not recommended.
I was hoping Vanessa would end up on a beach with a, you know, broken Statue of Liberty head. See? Spaceballs. That's right.
Spaceballs. Like, oh no. There goes the neighborhood.
That's right. Those blasted Spaceballs. What are they doing here? All right, folks. You're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
We'll give you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you but on the battlefield. Are you in need of what the heck did I just listen to? Are you in need of a laugh at the expense of the internet? Boy, do I have a treat for you. Here at Lyrically Audacious, we turn just about anything into music. Visit us now at youtube.com/@LyricallyAudacious, all one word. So swing by, have a laugh. Stay lyrical, stay audacious, here at Lyrically Audacious.
Hi there, Boss fans. My name is Jesse Jackson, and I'm the host of Set Lusting Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. For the past decade, my guests and I have shared heartfelt conversations, unforgettable fan stories, and deep dives into the lyrics that have shaped our lives. From the passionate debates over sways and waves, deciding on if Mary gets in the car or not, to deep dives from Greetings to Letter to You. We've covered it all because Springsteen isn't just music. He is a great companion on this part of the ride. So grab your suitcase and your ticket, put on your favorite Springsteen t-shirt, and join me for our 10th anniversary year. Set Lusting Bruce, 10 years strong and still making our way the land of hope and dreams.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cowhorned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good Podcast. Have a little faith.
Oh, hey, I got something.
Since 2009, we have been the premier cartoon podcast here at the GeekCast Radio Network. We are Tooncast, from taking you beyond the cartoons we grew up with to seasonal saucy toon talk, and now we get the origins of toonsters everywhere as we ask guests 30 questions about their cartoon watching experiences, plus so much more. Tooncast is back. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you all the toon talk you will ever need, only on the GCRN. And wherever you consume your podcasts, we are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. We are all toons all the time here on Tooncast.
Yeah.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
We earn more patches before 9 a.m. than most can in a lifetime. We dedicate our lives to be part of something greater than ourselves.
You okay there, big guy?
No.
With each patch earned, a new skill beyond the ordinary. We are the few, the relentless, the Fireside Girls.
We also have sleepovers.
Earn credits for middle school, so talk to your local Fireside recruiter today.
All right, folks, that's it. Episode 108 of the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym. We are almost done-ish for now. We've got one more episode where we're going to do our top 10 episodes and top 10 songs, favorites for each. But as far as reviewing stuff, it's not going to be until later this summer. June 5th is when season 5 kicks off on Disney. No, technically June 6th. June 5th is the Disney Channel airing. June 6th, the next day, is when the Disney Plus airings will happen. So we will be pre-producing those episodes. We gotta wait, but that's okay.
We cut the cord. We don't have cable anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, but I do have Disney Plus.
Absolutely. So Disney Plus rules. So yep, that's what's going on there. Any final words from you, sir, before I run through the closing?
I really felt like Rob Paulson should have been a part of this, but aside from that.
Yeah. I probably would have given...
thought that was Rob Paulson a couple of times. I'm like, is he just doing all the voices here? What is the name of that? He does this voice on his show, on his podcast, right? And well, I mean, he always does.
When he did do the podcast, I don't think Talking Tunes is doing it. I don't think
Really? No more Talking Tunes?
I don't think so, no.
All right. That was,
but
that
anyway,
was
good.
Like COVID. Anyway, yeah. But like the two or three ones that he's really known for, you know, aside from like Ninja Turtles, and there's one, it's like Jimmy Neutron's friend something.
Oh, that's Carl Weezer.
Carl Weezer, yeah. So yeah. When I heard the voice of the aliens, the cowardly aliens, I'm like,
you thought it was
shit.
Carl.
Yeah, that's Carl Weezer. That's Rob Paulson doing the Carl Weezer, you know, or something similar, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
It's like, hey, Jimmy, I just wanna. It's that, yeah.
That voice, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I thought the cowardly aliens were doing. And I was mistaken. And I really feel like, you know, Rob Paulsen, you know, again, actor needs job, but, you know, Rob Paulsen would have pulled that one off, especially when you've got Bill Farmer in there and, you know, you have other people who are ingrained in that genre.
Yeah,
Disney animated film genre, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And really, folks, let me tell you, if they had this somewhere in this movie when they were traveling through space, if they just had a character of Pauly Shore somewhere in this movie saying, "Look, it's a Leaning Tower of Cheesa," I might have given it an extra half point.
Sure, why not? You know, I mean,
sorry, I'm on a Goofy movie kick. I can't help it. Not another Goof, folks.
Pauly Shore. He was in that? I don't remember Pauly Shore.
He's Bobby. He's their friend. He's Max and PJ's friend Bobby. He's the one. He's the one that says that line. Look, a Leaning Tower of Cheesa, and he smashes the cheese into his mouth.
I'm gonna have to watch that then. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
I'm not right now. It's a little
not late. Right now.
I'm gonna watch it soon. Yeah, maybe this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a good time. It's such a good time. Because again, it's at a time when Jeffrey Katzenberg was at Disney. It's at a time when the feature animation was Lion. Like, that movie was in production, I think, 93, 94. Lion King was the big, like, Goofy Movie and Lion King were supposed to come out sort of at the same time, but it didn't, thankfully. So, you know, it is what it is. But don't want this competing. Yeah, not another Goof. Well, it wasn't even that it was competing. It got bogged down. You just watch the documentary. You'll hear the story from them instead of me. But anyway, not another Goof. Disney Plus.
Gonna go watch it. Gonna watch it soon.
You can watch all four seasons as well as the two movies of Phineas and Ferb on Disney Plus as well.
We occasionally talk about. Yeah.
Yep. Somehow, some way, I almost want to do an episode for It Takes Two, or not It Takes Phineas and Ferb. It Takes the talk show they did, because they did a talk show too.
That was like commercials or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a show.
Well, no, it was a short show. But anyway, no.
Throw a clip in there somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can also check out shop.geekcastradio.com. You can buy all of our stuff. T-shirts up to 4XL, mugs, gamer pads, other stuff. I don't know. Steve adds stuff all the time. I actually just recorded something with him. Yet. Yeah, totally. the hat you haven't bought yet.
I kind of want to buy that hat. I kind of want to buy that.
Buy the hat. Go get the damn hat, man.
I like the hat.
That's right. Like the hat. Buy the hat. If you like the hat, buy the hat. Buy the hats for all your friends.
I don't like them that much.
Wow. Anyway, I when I was doing this outro for a different show, I said something about there's t-shirts, there's mouse pads. I think if there isn't mouse pads, Steve, add the mouse pads. He laughed because I was doing the outro with Steve. Send us email feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcasting clients you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter. Yes, we still call it Twitter around here at the Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow @geekcastradio for the network. I am at TFG and Mike. Are you still Twittering or no?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, okay.
I still read it. Yeah, I don't post anything anymore though.
Okay.
Not that interesting. Sadly.
It's not that interesting, or you're not that interesting?
No, me. I don't have anything interesting going on right now.
Oh, yes, you do. Stop it.
Boring as hell.
Stop it. You can go back and post every single episode link to these podcasts that we've been doing for the last 9.5 years.
I think you do that already. You actually you CC me on it. You at me.
Well, I'm added
on everything. So it shows up on my feed. I mean,
Well, yeah, you can always retweet the thing instead of just liking it. Of course they want to see it.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Become fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palco. Wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our top 10 countdowns, top 10 favorite episodes of the entire series, and then our top 10 favorite songs of the entire series, which can include the two movies if we want to.
Sure. Probably not, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Second Dimension had some good songs. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, don't forget, folks, you always got to kick it up a notch.
With Slash.
That's right.
But wait, there's more!
All right, thank you for joining us here on Palco. There are so ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show that... damn it. Too fast.
You gotta slow it down. Just take a breath. You got this.
Ow.
There's not really any more. That's about it.